Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
And about... Yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content. But you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Warning, the Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to The Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So, gentlemen, raise your glass. Adam Minahan here, sitting with the beardless Dave.
So, it's been a big week.
What? I feel like you haven't done anything.
Some dedicated listeners might know that with the birth of my last child, I started a new tradition.
Oh, I didn't know we spoke French and Spanish and English on the Catholic Man Show.
Sometimes a little Portuguese.
Man.
So, I will admit, though, my Portuguese sounds an awful lot like my Spanish, but that's not what it is when I decide.
I understand.
So I started a new tradition.
Okay.
That whenever a child is born, whenever my offspring increase, I shave the face. New birth tradition.
The beardless wonder.
The beardless Dave reemerges. Not that it's like a great thing, but it's just a thing that I do,
right.
You know? And so I'm could not be happier to announce that the birth of my first son was born on Trinity Sunday.
Ooh, yes.
David Philip Niles Jr.
What are you going to call him? Our paths have been very separated.
Let's discuss it over a glass of whiskey,
okay,
shall we?
Yeah, because I want to know what's the plan.
Yeah.
On
sure.
What do you call this? Yeah. This fine gentleman.
Yeah, because nicknaming other people's kids is not people are cool with it. Some people aren't.
Right. Nickname all of Juan's kids. He's not cool with it, but it's okay. I do that. That's something I do.
I don't speak Spanish.
I don't speak Spanish.
Right.
So. He's
mostly.
Like, that means the cabinet. It's like, no, it sounds really cool. It doesn't matter.
El cabinete.
So I want to know.
El Diablo. It's Spanish for like some sort of fighting chicken.
I want to know about that. I want to know how Pamela's doing.
We call him many things.
Yes.
You know, he's only, he is just over 24 hours old at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And so we call him Baby Davey.
Okay, see, Haley started calling him Baby Davy, and it's like, oh, pump your brakes.
Yep, we call him that. We call him Baby Junior, Davy Junior.
Davy Jr.
Little David. I mean, right now it's kind of an experimental season.
Okay.
When it comes to here you go, Juan. Cheers.
Cheers. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Hey, we should definitely give a cheers to Baby Dave.
To David Jr. May we all be a saint.
That was
in heaven. May we all get there. I mean, I thought you were going to do it, and then you didn't do it, and well, I feel like I shouldn't have to do it.
Well, as the dad, I didn't want to steal your thunder.
It's like, you know, somebody else toasts you.
I just didn't want to steal your thunder.
It's like I'm toasting myself.
You're not, but it was your child. Sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make that weird. I was not really ready.
I
was etiquette-like-wise. I thought it would have been...
No, see, I think... It's a good question, but I think that the etiquette... Is would that somebody else would toast
to your son?
You just had a son, you know, like, well, let's raise, you know, see what I'm saying?
Okay.
Because, yeah, that's what I would do. Let's just drink.
To Baby Dave.
To Baby Dave.
Yes. So excited. So, okay, so you said you didn't know exactly what, experimental phase.
We're testing out the names. We didn't know if we were having a boy or girl, you know, so it was very, very exciting. He was born and I was like, look. Buddy,
I want to know what like the first.
I gotta
thoughts.
Tell you something. You have three sisters. Yeah. Okay, so I know you don't. You're not quite. You don't really understand that
it's
yet.
It's just you and me, man.
I want you to just. You gotta know that. Before they get here, I want to tell you. I want to just spring it on you like that.
It's just me and you, man.
Yeah. So the Niles name. If it doesn't continue, it's not my fault. You know, if he becomes a priest, then it's like, hey, I gave it a shot.
It was God's will.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. So, we've been talking about, even last week, we were talking about the idea, because we talked about raising daughters and we were talking about the difference of holding a daughter for the very first time and the difference of holding a son for the first time.
Yeah. It was way different. It was more different than I had anticipated.
Okay.
You know? And it's hard to really explain.
I know, dude. Last week, I didn't listen to our episode, but I thought, man, I just did not articulate that well. But it's because, like, I didn't know how to say the things that I was feeling when I was holding a daughter compared to a son.
And, like, using a boy's name. Like, talking to your own children. Because for me, it's like I'm just always using girls' names. And you kind of, like, talk to your little girls.
Right, in a
know,
girly, like...
Oh, princess way, right. whatever, right, you right. know. But, so yeah, there's been a lot of differences. More differences to come, I'm sure, you know, because
it's been
so soon. Yeah,
right.
It's very new.
Right.
But anyway.
The reaction of Pamela when you finally... So, baby came, you said, it's a boy!
So, I...
What happened? Like, you don't have to go super
detail,
but... I was,
like, pseudo-catching the baby.
Sweet.
And so, I grabbed the baby and put the baby on Pamela, gave the baby to Pamela, and it all kind of happened so fast that I didn't want to drop the baby.
Right.
You know,
that would be bad.
It's like, so I gave her the baby and I had to tell her, I don't know what it is yet.
Like, you didn't look?
I couldn't see. Like, just the way it all happened, I was trying and I didn't get a view.
Oh my
and
goodness.
And I was like, just, you know, hey, because we had gone over like, all right,
here's
get the baby, hand it to Pamela.
Right.
But so just the way it happened, I didn't have an angle.
Ah.
Okay. So I told her, I don't know what it is yet. So she lifted him up and I was like, it's a boy.
What was her thought? Well, like, what did she say?
She said, she was just like,
ecstatic.
Oh, it's a boy. You know,
yeah.
Just
ecstatic and pumped and relieved that it's
now
done.
Like, whether it's a boy or girl, you're just like,
pumped.
Oh, it's a, you know.
Right.
That's one of the great things about waiting to find out if it's a boy or girl, because you have this incredible moment. It's an incredible moment anyway, but getting that it's a boy or it's a girl, I think especially Pamela said that it helps in the last few days of pregnancy, you know, because at the very end, that's like the hardest part, you know, for women, you know,
we've been told.
Yeah. I mean, they got the anticipation of this is going to be over soon. You're getting bigger, more uncomfortable. You know, the baby's getting big.
Yeah.
And so having that something to look forward to, she said, kind of, at least for her, she finds that helpful, you know, but Anyway, that's the story. It's very good. So anyway, wait, one more.
Okay.
So he's a junior. My dad's name is also David Niles. I'm not a junior.
Right, because the middle names
because
are different.
He and I have a different middle name.
Okay.
But David Jr. was born on Trinity Sunday, and there are, in fact, now a trinity of David Niles's, because there are three of us.
Right.
You know.
Dude, that's
so
awesome.
So it's like, that was kind of cool. That, shout out to Jim Spencer. He's the one who
pointed connected those dots.
Yeah, he put that together.
Yeah. Our bodyguard, who's not here to this evening, but...
Yeah, we're vulnerable right now. Someone could break in.
Shouldn't have said anything.
We're susceptible to attack.
Yeah. But dude, when we received the text message of the baby, we saw the baby, and all you did was send a picture to our group message. You know, yeah. The Juan, me, Sam, and Scott, you just send a picture to us.
Uh-huh.
And... there was no indication if it was a boy or a girl.
And I hadn't decided if we were going to tell people or wait till they came. And so it's like, are we telling people? Are we not telling people? We would definitely.
I don't know. I hit send.
Right. So I just sent the picture and it was like, and then other things happened and we kind of forgot about you guys and, you know.
That's typical. Yeah. Yeah. So my first thought was when I received that text message, was like, oh, we got another girl. Because I thought if you had a boy, that would like.
There would have been a
declaration, mm-hmm. you know, on this text message, but I was wrong.
I have begot a man by the help of the Lord.
All day, Juan and I were, because Juan and I were together.
Guys were fishing.
Yeah, and Juan and I said over and over again on the way up there and way back, we were just so happy that you had a boy, that everything was delivered well, like mm-hmm. Pamela was doing well. Everybody was doing well.
She's just incredible. Like when you watch your wife.
Well, women in general,
they are
incredible.
But when you watch your wife give birth, and just like see all that they go through, it is just like, like for me, I you know just have never seen her. You know, it's like I have just never been so proud of you. Like you are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think that all the time, but like you are amazing. That was that was awesome. You know, right. Like
sure,
you did great.
Yeah,
you know, and just because they just power through,
they do,
mm-hmm. and just
well, they just get that baby out. They don't have a choice.
No,
in the matter,
no, they don't. But like,
but it's amazing.
I've only seen my wife do it, but you know, you just go into like this frame of mind and
yeah.
like just. Perseverance and determination.
Was I part of any of the like were my prayers or anything about me related to any of the contractions?
I'm sure, Adam. I mean
that's what we really need to know. But the listener wants to know.
Almost sure of it.
Almost sure. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take the almost sure.
Yeah.
There's the music. Wow, that was a quick 12 minutes. So when we get back, we're gonna hit a break. If you're on radio, we'll hit a break. We'll come back. If you're on podcast, in 30 seconds, we'll be right back. We're going to talk about our drink a little bit because we haven't even discussed that. I want to at least mention about Luke's weekend and then...
We've got a Father's Day giveaway.
And Father's Day... We got a lot of stuff to talk about. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles here with Adam Minahan. We got Juan Posada running the buttons. We do have a topic today. It does fit in with the theme of the show, which is
always wonderful. Can I add some other exciting news?
Please.
A listener, Sean, I don't want to say his last name because I didn't get permission to do this, but avid listener of the Catholic Man Show. His name is Sean. He just found out that he was selected. He and his wife were selected to adopt a new child.
Oh, awesome!
And he's been trying for a long time. It's been a lot. And not only did he find that out, but the same week, maybe the week after, he found out he got a new job. So he got a new job and a new baby all in like a week. So
there's one more. You know, they say
everything comes in threes.
Comes in threes.
So shout out to Sean. He's a great guy.
Sean, now is the time to play the lottery. Okay. Like, this is it. Yeah. Don't miss your shot.
So we skipped over what we're actually drinking.
We
this
didn't
evening.
Intend to, but things got a little carried away, you know.
Which is okay. I'm okay with it.
I do have one more story.
Good.
I shaved my beard, you know.
Right.
And when I came out of the bathroom, my two oldest daughters were in my room, and my oldest daughter, Elizabeth, looked at me like with this look of confusion, and I realized she doesn't know who I am. Like, she literally doesn't know who I am, and so I said something.
She's never seen you without a beard.
Well...
That she can recall.
Yeah, that she could remember. And so I said something, and then her face got even more confused. It was like, what?
Yeah.
Dad's voice came out of that weird face.
Yeah.
And then I said, you know, some more stuff, and she just started laughing and smiling. And then my other daughter, Mary, she hadn't been paying attention. She looked up, and she did kind of the same thing. And then Mary, my second daughter, she's laughing. She said, you look like a girl. It was so funny.
Nothing to give you confidence like your daughter.
I just thought it was absolutely hilarious. She's like, you look like a girl. You don't have a... Where's your beard? You know, and she's three, you right. know, and so it's not like right. She's just saying it because she thinks it's true. You know?
That is hilarious. That is so funny. Okay, so what whiskey did you pick out
so
this evening?
We are drinking Port Charlotte, heavily peated Islay single malt whiskey. Okay, it's by Buchladek.
Yes.
The distillery. Mm-hmm.
The distillery.
The distillery of Buchladek. It's a 10-year-old. Mm-hmm. It is heavily peated. I just had it. I had a little bit over at my brother-in-law's house, and I was like, hey, that's pretty good. Let me pick up a bottle for the show. And so,
what's it running?
This was about $65.
Okay.
So I'm
very average for Islay whiskey.
And, you know, pre-tariff, it would probably... You know, 50-ish.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So hopefully things work out where the tariffs go away and we can get back to those better prices, you know?
One of the things that I instantly caught on to whenever I was trying this whiskey was that I noticed that it was 50% ABV. So I thought, oh man, this is going to have a bite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because typically
50% is, you know,
it's strong.
100 proof is strong.
It's strong. And so I was thinking like, okay, I'm going to have to really get my big boy pants on for this whiskey. Thinking right. like it's going to bite. But dude, it is smooth.
You don't even notice.
It is very smooth.
Because the difference between 40 and 50% is 20% or 25%, depending on if you're going down or up. If you go up from 40 to 50, that's a 25% increase. If you go down from 50 to 40, that's a 20% decrease. But you see what I'm saying? The numbers, they go different ways. But 25% more alcohol than your standard whiskey, you don't even notice. If you weren't told that, you wouldn't be able to tell, I don't think.
No, it's very good. And it's not as peated. I wouldn't say it's like, it's not a in your face as much as a like Lafroy 10.
No.
Even though it says heavily peated. But I would say that it's stronger peated than... Ardbeg.
Yeah, I think it's probably very close to Ardbeg peat level. Ardbeg has more of the iodine as well,
right? And so Band-Aids
and smoke.
Iodine and Band-Aids.
Right. This one's not very smoky necessarily, but it is peated.
It's not smoky.
Whereas when you have both, you kind of get like it's a double whammy kind of, mm-hmm. you know, because mm-hmm. peated and smoky are kind of in the same genre of flavors. So this one's peated and the Ardbeg is both. Mm-hmm. So it does have a heavier flavor to it, I would say.
Right.
But really, I think this is good.
Yes.
You know, it's in the same price range as Lafroig and Ardbeg.
Right. Well, not Ardbeg. Ardbeg is still pretty cheap.
Well,
$40.
So it is. We can buy it around here. I was talking to a liquor store guy and he said it's going up, but that Ardbeg is just significantly less popular. And so they still have
some that's
in stock.
I gotcha.
So it's still at that lower price because
but it's not going to be for long.
Yeah, they said once they start having to sell new shipment, mm-hmm. it'll be the same. It's going up to 60 something like.
Well, so right like now Lafroy. It's at 40 at Park Hill.
Yeah,
so
I know. And
go grab some if you're in Tulsa.
Yeah, if you're in Tulsa or anywhere else you see it, snatch it.
One
up.
Of the other things that's really awesome about one of us having a new baby is that we have the baby bottle.
Yes.
And for the new listeners, why don't we explain a little bit about the baby bottle, and then I want to talk a little bit about Luke's weekend. So okay. Go ahead. So let's talk about the baby bottle.
So the baby bottle, we all pitch in to buy a really nice bottle of scotch. Because Scotch is really good. You know, if you like the $60 to $80 range is kind of all in the same level of Scotch. Mm-hmm. But once you get over $100 and if you get up to like $120, you really do enter a different realm of sure. Scotch where you say, oh, like that is nice.
Right.
I did not realize, right. You know. So we have a bottle. We call it the baby bottle because we only drink it after one of us has a baby. So it's
one of our wives.
One of our families right. has a baby. Right. Yeah.
Right. Distinctions.
So, yeah. Sure. Sure. They specificity.
Apparently, it's a big deal with gender these days of being able to understand who has babies and who doesn't. So I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah. Well, families have children. I mean, women don't do it by themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, they birth.
So
baby.
What happens is when a man and a woman marry
when
they
a man
love
and a woman
other.
Have a special love for each yeah. other.
So anyway, Balmore 18 is what we have right now.
That's the one we have right now. Yes. And so we only, and then at the end we'll bust it out, have a cigar, and then we mark it on the bottle where we stopped, because the next time when we drink it, because
I don't trust you. The real reason why we market
start
it
off
is
that way,
like,
exactly.
I don't trust you, because
you're going to be pulling nips from that yeah. bottle.
I don't trust you, Phyllis.
So anyway, it's a good tradition that we have, you know, as friends that we do, and
it just gives us an opportunity to celebrate,
and you get to enjoy a nice scotch that we wouldn't be able to
right.
prudently afford otherwise, you right. know.
I mean, I can't afford a $200 bottle of scotch, but if three of us go in together for a special occasion, I could possibly afford that.
Right.
Once every 6 months or 9 months.
Right.
Or,
yeah.
At the rate that we're going, I may still be going broke. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not sure. Which we're talking about responsible parenthood.
Yeah,
day,
it could be. You know,
great.
Between the three of us, if we each have a kid every 18 months, it could be every 6 months breaking out the...
Well, we've talked about this. What we need to do is we need to recruit...
A little bit more young blood.
We need to recruit a young guy who's just starting.
Hey, you just got married.
Right. Into our group.
We have a tradition.
Right. And I would like to be a part... I would like to bring you in and then take advantage for the next 10 years. So anyway. So Luke, we went to on our fishing trip. Mm-hmm. For Luke. So Luke is next week is receiving First Holy Communion. Please keep him in your prayers if you could, please. He is very nervous about his first confession.
I thought he did it already.
No.
Oh, no, okay.
Not yet. He's talking to Father Brian tomorrow and then probably having his first confession.
So tomorrow is just the talk, not the confession, or it's the talk followed by confession?
Probably followed by, as long as he passes his understanding of what's taking place.
Okay.
So he's pretty nervous. The first thing he said was like, but Dad, I just don't want to upset Father.
Uh-huh.
Like that was like, and dude, so he said a prayer tonight. Like, so we have a family prayer after dinner every night.
Uh-huh.
And he asked if he could say a prayer for his first Holy Communion as a family. And I said, absolutely, buddy, I will let you pray. We'll pray, say our family prayers and then I'll let you take the reins.
Yeah. Cause you're a man now.
And he like, I want to pray like that kid.
Nice.
He just absolutely nailed it. He exposed, like he was very vulnerable. He was fighting tears.
Wow.
He was asking the Lord, he said, he asked the Lord for courage to follow through with his first confession.
Uh-huh.
He prayed for all the other kids who were going to be receiving his first confession, first Holy Communion. He prayed for his family, and he asked all this through the intercession of the Most Blessed Virgin Mary and St. Joseph and our family patron, St. Gerard.
Nice.
And like, he cut it off quick because he was getting emotional. So it's like, man, I want like that was a beautiful prayer. That was just a
totally.
Beautiful prayer. So anyway,
totally.
Before his first Holy Communion, we wanted to have a trip. We talked about this a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, to kind of almost like a rite of passage for him. So we went floated down to Illinois this last weekend. Juan was there. All the main men who were influencers in his life went, except for you. I mean, obviously
I was
going
to be there, but
you were going to be there, but anyway, yeah. So my dad, my two brother-in-laws, Juan, myself and Luke, we all went, and he felt like he was such a big kid. In fact, the first thing he said was when he got back, he went over to my mom, his grandma, and like measured himself height-wise on her, and he said, I think I grew
a little bit.
I think I grew a little bit from the trip. Yeah. And so like he just,
I'll tell
like,
you, I feel bigger.
He did so great. I mean, he's just,
he got a big fish.
That's a little debatable, but yeah, he caught a big fish. Uncle Holden caught it and let
him reel it in.
Let him reel it in. Yeah. So
okay. You can't. You know.
But he held it. He did. Uncle Holden helped him get off the hook, but then he held it and he did really well.
Yeah.
So I didn't catch anything. So Juan barely caught something. The lure caught his hat.
Yeah, I saw that.
There was a lot of things that happened. So anyway, but when we get back, we're going to talk about responsible parenthood. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show here with David Niles. Juan on the buttons. Thank you so much for helping us out, Juan, this evening. Had a chance to see Ignacio very recently, and the kid, the boy is just a stud.
I saw that kid today.
He's just a stud.
He is like,
I can't wait for
like that is a water.
15 years from now, like, he's gonna look back and be like, see guys, I am a stud. I hope he does that.
Told you.
Yeah, I told you I'm a stud.
It was apparent from the beginning.
Right.
But so, I mean, the guy has like a weapon for a head.
Yeah, his hair is just.
It's like
luscious.
Yeah. If he's not a football player.
Okay, so hold on. Dave, I just want to talk really quick about our Catholic Man Show Father's Day giveaway. We're giving away
Let's do it quickly.
Why don't you pick it up right behind you? It's right behind you. We're giving away a Yeti cooler. We teamed up with a bunch of other Catholic influencers, Catholic Answers Live. Oh, we just knocked over a bunch of stuff.
Behold!
I said Catholic Answers Live. I'm sorry. Catholic Answers. Catholic Woodworker, the Catholic Guardians, Catholic Imagery, Catholic Connect. There's a bunch of guys that helped us. Oh, you just broke
it's
that.
Fine. It's fine. It's nothing broken. It just
we're
fell.
Giving away about over $500 worth of stuff for Father's Day. All you have to do is go to thecatholicmanshow.com/giveaway, or just you can get there at thecatholicmanshow.com, and there's six ways to enter for you to win. We're gonna go live on June 17th to announce the winner.
See.
It's going to be great.
Si.
Okay.
Mucho si.
Okay. Very good. Very good.
Is that, Juan, do you say mucho si?
Mucho.
Do you
then? Mucho, yes.
Pronounced
yitty. Yitty. Yeah, I'm sorry. Juan says it's pronounced yitty. Yitty, not yeti. So, and Jan, you know, Jan is the man of pronunciations.
Yeah.
So.
I think it's Juan.
Juan. Okay. So we're talking about.
I mean, he is Jewish after all.
We're talking about He is a fulfilled dude, yes. So we're talking about responsible parenthood this evening.
Yeah, so there's a few aspects to responsible parenthood. The primary one is that we're called to a responsible parenthood when it comes to building our families. The other parts
Well,
are,
now that you have your boy, you must be done, right?
Yeah, Dave? Okay, you got your boy.
You got your boy, you're now done.
Right.
Right?
Of course, because... And I'm actually willing to see if I can unload some of these girls, because I only want two total,
right.
You know, so I'm thinking the middle two. I'm
when
not
we had
sure.
three and the third one was a girl, it was a okay, good, you're done, right?
Yeah,
because now you got your girl,
right?
You're all done. Two boys, girl, call it quits.
If you have more, I'll be mad at you,
right?
Yeah.
There's even people that I work with that are blown away that I have four, and they ask me, I think it's really funny that people like really want to know about your sex life, and insofar as like
what it blows me away was when other people volunteer stuff about their sex life. One time Pamela and I were furniture shopping. Mm-hmm. We're looking for a couch.
Right.
We go into this place, this woman, we had a baby with us, and she's like, oh yeah, blah 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 blah. Yeah, so my husband, he had a vasectomy. And I was like, what? Why? I want to know what it is about my face that says, I'm really curious about the structural integrity of your husband's reproductive system.
It's probably because you didn't have a beard.
I want to know. What's the integrity like there? I think I did have a beard, though, at the time.
I think you should grow your beard back.
Yeah. You know. I'm going to give it a couple. You know what the problem is when you shave a beard in the summertime? Mm-hmm. Is that you have this super white chin that hasn't seen the sun in a long time. Mm-hmm. So once it colors up a little bit, it will look a little bit better. Not a whole lot, but a little bit, you know. Right. So anyway, like, she just told me that right off the bat.
Right.
The culture definitely is a force trying to prevent the number of children. Okay. Right. And I take it as one of my goals in life among my acquaintances, especially my non-Catholic ones, to try to convince them to have more children. If I can convince them to have one more child, I mean, that's a huge win for the universe, mm-hmm. right? So I wanted to talk today about specifically discerning and how to discern the appropriate number of children in your family. Because
the answer is all of them.
You want all of them, right? Yeah, that is the correct answer.
How many points do I win?
1,005.
Feel good.
Yeah.
The fifth one feels great.
Right. Yeah. 1,004 would not just have been,
it would have been dissatisfying. Yeah.
So, there is this kind of like notion that once you have two or three kids, well, that you're just going to stop because that, well, it just kind of, you assume, well, that's what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to talk about that because it's prevalent in a lot of Catholic marriages too. Like people just don't even talk about it anymore. They just assume, well, we're done having kids, mm-hmm. you know? And when we get married, you know, it's not like we sign up and it's not like me or anybody or the church expects you to have 6 kids, 9 kids, 12 kids, 1 kid.
Right.
There is no expectation except that you took a vow that you would accept children lovingly from God, and that they are the crown jewel of marriage. Mm-hmm. And so I want to talk about this.
Okay.
There are a couple things, that I think cause a lot of confusion in this topic that the church, some language that the church uses when it comes to, because there's some people on the other side that say, like, basically, you have to have a child every opportunity you can, unless you have, you'll hear them, grave reasons. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay? I can't find where the church uses the word grave anywhere. I mean, of course, things like Humanae Vitae are speaking in Latin. It's written in Latin. And so you could translate some of these words as grave. But that's not the way the church herself translates these words. So this is from the Catechism.
No kidding.
Right.
I didn't know that, actually, yeah. To be honest with you, because
grave reasons does not appear in the official translations of any of these documents.
Interesting.
Okay. So here is the Catechism 2368. For just reasons, spouses may wish to space the births of their children. It is their duty to make certain that their desire is not motivated by selfishness, but is in conformity with the generosity appropriate to responsible parenthood. Okay, so here we have the church saying just reasons. Humanae Vitae, paragraph 10. Says that with regard to physical, economic, psychological, and social conditions, responsible parenthood is exercised by those who prudently and generously decide to have more children and by those who, for serious reasons, see, it doesn't say grave reasons, it says serious, but let me just finish and then we'll talk about it. For serious reasons and with due respect to the moral precepts, decide not to have additional children either for a certain or indefinite period of time. Okay, so there's a difference between grave reason and serious reason because the church makes a distinction between these two words when it comes to sin. Okay, so if a sin is considered grave, all sin is serious, but certain sins are more than serious, they're grave. Okay, which would make it, you know, now we're on the grounds of mortal sin. Okay, and so many people confuse the fact that grave is sometimes translated here instead of serious, that if it's not life or death, then you are the church is requiring you to have more children.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what the church is saying. Okay.
Okay.
She does go on to say that you need to take this seriously. There's, you know, responsible parenthood, and that it's up to you, the parents, to make this discernment. But this is what, especially like with a uber traditional bent, many Catholics have the notion and promote the notion that if you are delaying pregnancy for something that's basically, if it's not life or death, then you are committing a mortal sin because of this word grave. That's what it seems like is happening to me. And there are a lot of people out there who have bought into that idea. And that's just not what the church says. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, because here at the beginning, in Humanae Vitae, paragraph or number 10, it's not paragraph 10, but in number 10.
Sure.
She says, with regard to physical, economic, psychological, and social conditions.
Okay.
So those are the grounds which the church says these are serious. Serious reasons could be one of these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, social conditions, I think that's the kind of the curious one. Like, what are the social conditions? Well, maybe you're in the middle of a war. You know, like if you're in Britain during World War II and your town is being air raided.
Or Poland.
Poland. Right. Yeah. Or you're a Jew in Nazi Germany, you know, in the war, okay. You know, in the
that
camps.
Makes
like
sense.
That might not be a great time
to have
children. Sure. You know what I mean? It also says like Simca Fisher. She's a really good Catholic theologian. She does a lot on life issues. She also used the example, like, what if you're in China right now with the two-child policy? You know, if you have two children, if you get pregnant, the government will, it's a forced abortion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is a good reason not to have children.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's the child's fault, not that you're condemning that child to hell. I mean,
right.
Nothing bad about that child, but forced abortion is something to be avoided.
Sure.
Right. So anyway.
So I think that St. Thomas Aquinas talks about, like, you know, when you're discerning the amount of kids that you have, that you obviously want the benefit of having more kids is that you have more people in heaven.
Yeah.
There's more of communion of saints.
Yeah.
There's more. The body of Christ grows. This is a beautiful thing. And so that is a benefit of having more children.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that there's a stigma almost, especially in some uber Catholic circles, of, oh, you only have two children?
Right.
Oh, well, why? You know, it's like there's a lot of emotional damage. Like there's a lot of things that happen behind closed doors that you don't know about.
Let's talk about that on the other side of the break, because that's something that needs to be addressed.
Infertility is a real thing.
Yeah.
And so I think that it's good to not make sure that we're not judging other people for how many kids they have.
Right.
And just because you have more kids does not necessarily make you more holy in and of itself.
Yeah.
Although
it deserves a longer conversation. Let's pick it up.
Although you're pretty holy.
Yeah, I am. David Niles here alongside Adam Minahan from the Catholic Man Show. And we have a big announcement for all the fathers out there. So if you are a dad or if you have a dad, listen up.
I know that there's a lot of Catholic dads out there that listen to Catholic radio, and we partnered with a bunch of Catholic affiliates, including Catholic Answers, to bring the ultimate Catholic Man Show Father's Day giveaway.
That's right. We have a brand new Yeti cooler that we're giving away that's packed full of Catholic stuff. So if you want information on how to win it, go to thecatholicmanshow.com/giveaway. Willkommen Catholic Man Show. Ich heiße David. Hier Adam Minahan und Juan Posada. Tag, y'all. Tag. I said tag, y'all. Tag.
Oklahoma German.
That is German. That's real German for you guys.
I actually think we have like six people in Germany that listen to our show.
They're
so
going to be really impressed
with
how bad my German is.
They're going to be pumped.
It's going to be... Anyway, after we're done with this episode, I just want to throw this out there that I am going to tell you guys my favorite response when people ask you, like, hey, you know where all those, you know, where you have kids, wow, those kids, you know where they come from, right? You're like, you're done, right? I am going to tell you my favorite, which I believe to be the perfect response for these types of people.
I know what he's going to say.
Okay.
So
I'm going to tell you what I say, and you can use it, adapt it to your own style. So anyway, make sure to, if you want to see that, if you want to hear it, go follow us on YouTube or Facebook. Anyway, I'll be doing that after the
episode.
official time length of the episode is over. Okay. So you were mentioning right before the break about many people who I think are prone to sort of a judgment that, you know, and it is true that we are called to a generous, a generous marriage, where we generously embrace children from God, which means we're open to all of them that he wants us to have, okay? We don't want to exclude however many children he wants to bring and bless our marriage with. That's how many children we need to receive, okay? Mm-hmm. So there is a temptation, I think, especially among uber traditional circles, where you see a Catholic family who has one, two children, and they think, oh, you're just not willing to, you're just not a good Catholic.
You're being selfish.
I see you have two kids and a boat. Yeah, I could have a boat too if I didn't have eight children, but right. I love God, and so I can't afford the boat. But you've got the boat and only two kids. You know, I see how it is. Mm-hmm. You care about the boat more than more kids. And I just, if you have been tempted towards those feelings, I just cannot caution you enough the danger in which you tread, okay?
Right,
because you don't know these people. Infertility issues are prevalent among approximately 10% of married families. So you think about how many people you know. You know several. You know many people who are struggling with infertility, okay? Mm-hmm. And so that is a huge source of pain for so many families. Mm-hmm. And so for you to add your judgments upon the deep pain that they are already feeling, because chances are they desperately want to conceive a child or another child.
Right.
And so you are just adding insult to injury.
Assault to the wound.
Yeah. I mean, it's incredible the pain that you could be adding on top of what they already experienced. Okay.
I can remember when, you know, Haley and I first got married and the doctor told us we weren't going to be able to have any kids. And I remember thinking like, okay, like we're already married. You know, this is a reality that I'm going to be living, is that we're not going to have, you know, I envisioned a big family. Like my family is big. Like, you know, I love having a family. And so I was envisioning a plethora of little pups running around.
Right.
You know, and when we found out that was the case, it was like, that was heartbreaking. And yeah. So like my heart, like because of that, my heart goes out to all those people who
totally.
Have infertility issues. You know, and people, that's not your plan. You know, you want to have children. And so, and the more you try, the harder it gets, the more stress it becomes, and the less likely you actually have to be able to reproduce. And I mean, it's such a vicious cycle. And
yeah,
anyway,
but I think in this conversation, people spend a lot of time focusing on, what are the reasons that you can delay children? And they don't think about what are the reasons why you shouldn't delay children, okay? Because given all these things that the church says, she still says that parents are not free to act as they choose in the service of transmitting life just because they want to choose it, okay? That there is an obligation placed upon them.
Because do you think that the reason why is because at that point they're now playing God? Like they're
well,
now
right,
deciding...
Because
like,
you are not the author of life.
You got
it. You're co-author life alongside of God, but he is the principal author. Okay.
Right. Okay. And I just wanted to make sure that's
fecundity. That when I mentioned the catechism earlier, 2368, that is the section on fecundity, on the transmission of life. Okay. And so the church, this is in Humanae Vitae though. He says they're not free to act as you choose in the service of transmitting life, as if it were wholly up to them, the parents, to decide what is the right course to follow. On the contrary, they are bound to ensure that what they do corresponds to the will of God the Creator. The very nature of marriage and its use makes his will clear. I mean, this is the constant teaching of the church. Okay, so we kind of talked a little bit, what is a serious reason? Because this is the big question. Well, what is a serious reason? It's sort of like when you're in high school and you are like trying to really find out how far can I go? You know, like every high school boy, that is a real question. And I think in a lot of times youth ministries, we kind of avoid that issue and skirt it, and we don't just straight up address it. And I remember being there saying, I really wish someone would tell me, because I want to follow what the church says, but I don't even know what the church is saying to me. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And luckily we had a good teacher, Professor Coughlin, Ken Coughlin at Bishop Kelly, who was not afraid of these questions and who were there at Bishop Kelly in high school said, this is what we're talking about today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I remember being so thankful for that. Okay.
Yeah, I remember thinking like, okay, good.
All right.
I'm going to take some notes.
Right. Exactly. And you know, it's like, my attitude towards that question wasn't the best, but at least now I knew, when I was committing a sin. I knew this is a sin, you know, and think that how that formed my thinking. Mm-hmm. I knew what I was doing in certain times, certain parts of my life.
Whatever.
So when it comes to, I think there's a kind of a similar thing here. What is a serious reason to avoid? The church doesn't say. Does not give specifics, but she does say those things: physical, economic, psychological, and social conditions. So, if you're sick, you know, if you have cancer, or maybe something less than cancer, you know, maybe it's just something that is just a chronic thing. If you have emotional distress, and the church says to delay pregnancy for a certain time, or maybe indefinitely, and she always leaves that up to the couple. It is up to them, because they are the ones who will stand before God to. You know, at their judgment.
We should execute the virtue of chastity.
Right.
As a married couple.
And it says married chastity is critical. And it doesn't mean married abstinence. It means married chastity. Right.
Which
just means that your sexual life is oriented towards reality. Okay. So I'm married, which means my sexual faculties have a role and a purpose. And I can engage in them in a good, holy way. Mm-hmm. Whereas someone who's not married cannot.
Right.
Okay. And so she leaves it open. And I think that's wise, because if the church were to try to be more specific, you can never be specific enough to meet
every criteria,
every situation. And so I think she could end up creating more confusion if she were to try and venture into that treacherous territory.
It's funny,
you know what I mean?
The church is so smart, and she knows Where to draw those boundaries.
So a couple do's and don'ts, I think, about actually discerning, okay?
Okay. This would be good.
Discerning the number of children in your family, it is a waste of time to try, when you get married, to say, all right, let's discern how many children. I think 6, 4 is a good number. That is a fruitless exercise.
Sure.
Children are discerned one at a time, month to month. Okay, this is one of the great things about natural family planning, is that it gives you, every month the conversation comes up again. And so it keeps this, your reproductive faculties are the most powerful force that you possess.
Which I feel like that's the reason why that's the most sin involved. Like we talked about this before, the greater the gift, the more distorted it becomes. And that's why we see all these distortions of this greatest gift in pornography, in lust, in all these sinful behaviors.
Right. And aside from your own soul, this reproductive power is your greatest, and free will, which kind of, that's what I mean by your own soul. But this is your greatest gift, is the ability to create co-author life along with God, the true creator. Okay. So, children are discerned one at a time, month to month. The question is not, should we ever have more kids? Unless you have some, like I said, a chronic condition or something that is never going to change. The question is always, should we have kids this month, right now? Or should we wait till next month to talk about it again? And when there is an issue, in order to really respond with generosity, the question should be, what can we do to remove these impediments to us being that generous, having that generous marriage where we're willing to embrace more children? The word generosity, generating life. Okay, it implies this life-giving thing. I mean, and if I may, that is why you have genitals. Okay, because to be generous is to be life-giving. Okay, and so we want to have a generous marriage where we do embrace all of the children. I will make you $1 million guarantee. You will never regret having another child. There will be no point in your life that you look at this child and say, "Yeah, I wish you were never born. I wish you weren't here. I regret you." And if you do, the problem is not with them, it is with you.
Right, yeah.
But you will always, because I know people, I mean, I you do too, where you say, oh, no, we're done. We can't have any more. And it's like, I'm not judging them, but if you did choose, you will always be thankful for this other child that you have for the rest of your life. Love is not, it's not addition, it's multiplication. And if you truly want to give your children everything, you have to have at least four, because you got to have two boys and two girls. If you want to give them everything, you got to give your sisters a sister, you got to give your daughters a sister, and your sons a brother.
Hey, congrats, dude.
Thank you. Thank you.
Love you guys, and we will talk to you next week. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.